97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. That is Mark Cox, and our executive producer is really running the show. Carl Middleman is here. Welcome to the show, man. We got a great show for you. Got some inside talk. We got some outside talk. We got some gun talk. But all last weekend, we had a nice weekend too, by the way.
Yes.
But I kept thinking, man, that guy is in Florida. I bet he's having a blast. Oh. You went to Florida with family. Did you get the strawberry cake?
I did get strawberry pie from my 97-year-old aunt.
And she made it from scratch.
Yep. She made me a strawberry pie because she knows how much I love that. And she was happy that we came down. I mean, you got to imagine, though, between the 80 and 90-year-old crowd, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a hopping time.
Dinner at 2.
I did get to visit the beach. And I'll have to tell you, Bo, Hurricane Ian swept through Fort Myers Beach. It was pretty much ground zero.
Oh, yeah.
So a friend of mine suggested that I drive the length of that beach road up to the outer islands there where the road runs up. It's probably 7-8 miles long. Before this hurricane, those homes that were beachfront down there, probably $10 million. I mean,
yeah.
The ones out on stilts that face the ocean, then there's some condo buildings, and then there are homes back across the road between there and the coastal waterway. There was not a home on that island that wasn't impacted by this. Nobody that I could see in my drive is back in their house yet. Many people living in mobile homes, like trailers, RVs I'm talking, that have been backed into their driveways, plugged into electricity, while they try to rehab the homes that can be rehabbed. Some are just not there anymore. I mean, they've got to start from scratch.
I have been on Zillow a bunch looking at Florida properties in that area because I've got family in Naples. I've got friends in Fort Myers. And every home you see, you're like, okay, that might be in my price range. And you start looking at the pictures, and 2 feet of the drywall is missing at the floor level.
Yep.
So everything in that area is just devastated. And 2004, I'd lived through 3 hurricanes. And I'll tell you what, it is serious business, and I feel so bad for those people, because can you imagine, just to get a service call done in this town, can you imagine the backup of contractors that are going on down there?
Sure. Well, it is. It's awful. There were contractors over there working, but the only restaurants on the island are food trucks that have pulled over there to provide food for people during the middle of the day. There was one T-shirt stand where they were selling FMB Strong, Fort Myers Beach Strong T-shirts that you could buy, I guess, to support the people that live there. But other than that, I mean, and here's something I learned for you, Bo, if you're seriously looking at property down there. Maybe there's not a lot of sympathy for people who have the financial ability to own a home like that on a beach, because it is an $8 or $10 million home.
Sure.
A friend of mine told me that, according to his insurance agent, once those homes get rebuilt, the insurance premiums per home will be 7% of the value of the home.
And you know what? That's true.
So if it's a $1 million home, your insurance premium every year is $70,000.
Absolutely. And it affected homeowners across the state, too.
Sure.
Because my dad had that home he just sold down in Miami, and that went up to like $8,000 when it was, a few thousand before. But everybody's going to take the hit, and that's probably going to impact you and me, too.
Think about
everybody
it.
That's
sure
listening.
It sure is.
It's terrible.
Even if you had for what would be a very moderately priced home in South Florida, a $400,000 home, if it's what's considered a high flood plain for a hurricane, like the one they just saw, your insurance premium might be $28,000 a year. How do you
always complained about the HOA fees. That ain't nothing compared to to that. That's crazy. You know, that's why Florida is a wonderful place to visit.
I'm telling you. It's still
and you get strawberry pie. I've never had strawberry pie. Not homemade. I'd love to try that. Oof.
Oh, well, I'm sure you
didn't send me a UPS box. I didn't get it anyway. That's okay. Well, I'm glad you're back safe, though. Good visit, though?
Yeah, we did have a good visit. Thank you. Thank you for that. Of course, I get back Monday, come and start reading the news to do prep for the show for the week, and we find out about this tragedy that happened in downtown St. Louis with the young girl that got her legs amputated because of this Daniel, was it Riley kid?
Riley, yeah.
Who was driving and shouldn't have even been out of his house with his GPS monitoring, had violated that a total of 90 times since his original arrest for armed robbery and assault 2 years ago almost. And from all indications, the circuit attorney's office, between them and the courts, whatever the mix-up was, this guy was never called back to task for violating that. And if he had been, he might not have been on the street driving at a high speed to wreck his car and injure this girl.
So this bracelet on his ankle was just a decoration.
Pretty much.
And that's very sad, because I've always been under the impression that if you violate it once, they put you back in jail. I mean, literally once. And for this many violations, I mean, where is the disconnect?
Well, generally what this is he was released basically on his own recognizance. Remember, you have a criminal justice system now that doesn't want cash bail because they feel that it discriminates against poor people. So they'll put an ankle monitor on you and limit where you're allowed to go. Like, we know you live here. We know you work here. And the grocery store is here. You can go to those places. If you're outside of there, you're in violation of your agreement with us. So that's what he did. He wasn't on home confinement, but he was very restricted on where he was supposed to go. And after 90 violations, the prosecuting attorney's office never once tried to revoke his recognizance bond and lock him up. I mean, it's sad. It's sad. And the result is a young lady who will spend the rest of her life living with the consequences of a lack of prosecution in the city of St. Louis. It's sad.
I learned about it like 2 days late, because I have not been engaged in local news, and I learned about it, and I heard she was, 14 years old, here for a volleyball tournament or whatever. And my first thought, as I said the words, I was mad at myself, because I said, well, at least she survived. But the heartache that she's going to go through for the rest of her life from this one family trip from Nashville to St. Louis, it's going to cut so deep and to that family. It's so bad. I think there's a GoFundMe out there as well for her and her family.
Yeah, go to 971talk.com. That's the easiest place I can think of. Her face is the first thing you'll see. And there's a link to the GoFundMe in that post.
Oh, thank you.
It was, as of the middle of the week, late in the week, over $360,000. Their original goal was $100,000. But I had a caller to the show this week who's an amputee, Bo. And John told me he lost a leg in his service to this country, that the prosthetic he currently uses cost more than they've gathered so far for this girl in this GoFundMe.
Oh, wow.
So although it seems like a large amount of money, it probably doesn't touch the surface of what she needs going forward. I think there'll be a lawsuit, and I hope that the family gets the money they need to help her for the rest of her life.
Can they sue the city, do you think?
I'm sure they're going to try. I don't know who will be held responsible. Is it the city itself? Could it be the circuit attorney? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I'm not an attorney, and I don't play one on the radio. So
no, I get that. Janae, is that how you pronounce her name?
Janae Edmondson is the young lady. 16 is what I heard, and had just signed a Division II volleyball deal to play in college there in the Nashville area.
Just so terrible. My goodness. Such a pretty girl. Our prayers go out, certainly. And it's funny, because not funny, but ironic. When we were in Orlando in 2004, and I was talking about the hurricanes that we went through, there were three of them.
Yeah.
And I was watching the TV news, and we heard the news anchor say, you're in our thoughts and prayers. And I thought to myself, are they really going to bow their head? Are these just words? And so from that point on, when I say, Janae's in my prayers, I will be saying, I've already said a prayer. I will be saying a prayer for her. That's just a personal thing.
No,
anyway,
it's true. It's a good point. And very sad as well. You know, we're gonna talk. We got a couple good stories for you today. But before we get to those, I did want to mention, because Bo Matthews, you're one of my heroes. I just have to tell you that. For the efforts you've made on behalf of first responders, because you know how much I appreciate that and how much I support them on my show. I know you've got your poker bash coming up next weekend. You're almost full, but you got some great prizes. Tell people about it, please.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you. It's our 7th annual Big Dogs Poker Bash. We've even got custom poker chips you can buy as a memorabilia, or like almost like a challenge coin, but it's a chip. We got t-shirts. We've got firearms we're going to be raffling off. Thanks to Kodiak Equipment, Dunn Sporting Goods. They donated $110 fishing pole, but we've got donations coming in from all over. If you can be at the event to play, we're gonna be about 200 people. $50 donation online if you get registered beforehand. It's going to be 60 at the door if we have room for you, but spectators are welcome to come for $10. You get your food, a soda, and you can be part of the silent auction. But it's all for the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. Again, we've been supporting these guys and gals out at Eureka for 7 years, and it really has done wonders in their life.
Yes.
And Mark Cox is going to be one of our celebrity players. Mm. We're going to have a bounty on his head, and you can knock him out and win a prize.
Bring it.
Wesley Bell, I do believe, is bringing like 3 or 4 people, because he won one of the firearms last year.
Good.
Of course, I met Keith, the guy down at Dunn Sporting Goods, when Wesley Bell came in to get the firearm. And he was so honored, the guy at Dunn's. He goes, I can't believe he's in our store. Well, Wesley's coming to win another firearm, so he can have one on each hip when he walks into his office come next Monday morning.
That's cool. Hey, real quick, the firearms again are, you've got the barkeep.
We got a barkeep, which is a really cool .22. We've got a G-Force 12-gauge shotgun. Glock X19, which is a tan, desert tan, and a Henry Golden Boy 22 long rifle, and there may be more.
And people can buy chances online, even if they're not coming in person, right?
Yes, they can. Yep, just go to on Facebook. It's best to just go to 7th Annual Big Dogs Poker Bash, and thanks to all of our sponsors. Been fantastic. Performance Roofing, thank you. $2,500 donation. Unbelievable.
Thanks to all of them. Coming up on the 5th of March, so next weekend, you got to get busy if you want to go. Still ahead, we're going to talk to the big indoor show that you can go check out, and of course is the St. Louis Home and Garden Show. They've got stuff they add every year, some really cool stuff, some stuff you may not have thought of that you can go down there and find out about and kind of whet your appetite for your big project coming up this summer. And also, when it comes to thinning deer populations in some of these suburbs, there's still a bit of debate about that. We're going to talk to Lou Salamone from Suburban Bow Hunters. It's all coming up right here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Garden party to reminisce with my old friends, a chance to share old memories and play our songs again. When I got to the garden,
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hey, we're talking about your garden, right? This weather's been so weird for February. 60 degrees. I walked out of the door the other morning, go to my morning show, and started sweating. I mean, I overdressed for it. I wasn't expecting it for some reason to be 60 degrees. So
maybe you overheated in Florida.
It could be. I was there for a couple of days. But it was warmer here that morning than it had been in Florida that Saturday morning I was down there.
Oh,
because
no,
it was in it was in the 50s, and here it was like 63 when I got in the truck the other morning.
No one's feeling bad for you.
My point is, the weather's been great. People have been outside. They've been going to parks. They have short sleeves on. They're probably thinking about gardening and what they're going to do to their yards once spring officially gets here. And guess what? We got a great deal for you, because the annual Builders St. Louis Home and Garden Show is coming, and you have an opportunity to go start making your plans now. Ellen Veman joining us, Assistant Staff VP for the show, for marketing, and great to have you on here, Ellen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. People, you know, I went to the RV show a couple of weeks ago. Very exciting. Just get you ready for the season. Tell us what people can expect this year.
So what people can expect to see at the home show is pretty much anything that they need for any of their home improvements inside and out. We've got hundreds of home improvement experts, and to me that's the best part about the show, is all the people that you can come down and talk to in one place. Instead of running all over town, say you're looking for windows, you know, going to six different showrooms, you can come down and compare products side by side in one location, talk to the experts, find the products that are just right for you in your next project.
So can Bo Matthews find a new thought tub down there?
A hot tub, absolutely. He has all kinds of things to choose from down there with hot tubs. We've got
Ellen. I'll be honest with you. We have a little joke going. I have a thought tub or a think tank, and that's because I'm in it all the time. but yeah, actually, I just spoke to my buddies at Two Men in a Spa Dolly. They donated to the Big Dogs Poker Bash. They're going to be down there as well. I don't understand how you get everybody in there. I was there a couple of years ago, Ellen, when they had built an actual house inside America's Center. Is that company going to come back?
We do not have a home in the show this year, no, but it is a challenge. It is a challenge getting everybody in because it is an awful lot of people that we get in there in a pretty short amount of time. But I've always said we should do a time-lapse camera of the show coming together because it's a really interesting process.
Oh, I bet it is. Yeah, I thought about that when I was down there for the other show, and how they piece everything together and decide what goes where and all that good stuff. So maybe cover a little bit of the gamut for us, Ellen, of what all sorts of interests you can see if you go down there.
Sure, absolutely. So I'd say that the two biggest rooms in people's homes that they want to or need to remodel are kitchens and baths. So we have an entire section of the show that's all kitchen and bath stuff. You know, people who can come in and, you know, give you a new tub or an entire new bathroom or completely remodel your kitchen. And another thing that people are really interested in these days is outdoor living. And we have an entire section of the show that has all the things that you need to create a great outdoor space, from the hardscapes to pergolas to outdoor kitchens and just everything that you would need to enjoy your outdoors.
Yeah, I'll bet my friends...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I bet my friends at Chesterfield Fence and Deck are going to be down there because they're a new sponsors to my show. And
those are good guys.
Oh, they really are. Looking forward to that. What were you saying, Bo? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, in the last 3 years since the pandemic, people have really embraced that outdoor space to really maximize, you know, and learn how to enjoy it more than just staring at it and mowing the grass. And so I love the hardscape companies that come out, and because they usually do like waterfalls and that kind of thing. So you may not have a full home inside this show, but will you have the hardscape people there?
We do. We've got a couple of big feature landscapes, and they do the waterfalls and the different things. And, you know, it's amazing every year how many new colors and shapes and different hardscape materials come out, and they're all fantastic. And they're beautiful to look at, and they've got, you know, the water features and fountains and different things that you can put in your yard. And yeah, the last few years with us being home more has got a lot of people thinking about their homes and how they function for them and the things that they want to do to make them better for their home and their life.
Yeah. Well, Ellen, obviously you've been doing this for a while now. What's your favorite part of it?
My favorite part is the kind of fun stuff that we do. You know, I've fenced my house. I've got a new roof. I've done all this, you know, things that are on my to-do list that have to get done. But, you know, the fun stuff, too, that kind of breaks up the shopping part of it. We've got a full-size pickleball court there this year, and people can pick up a paddle and play. We've got the disconnected canines, the world famous Frisbee dogs coming out. So I like the fun stuff that goes along with the home show because we always try to make an experience and not just, you know, just a day out shopping.
Yeah, pickleball's huge. I mean, I wonder, is there a market for people getting these installed in their backyards now? They're smaller than tennis courts. I wonder, is that something that it's even on your radar?
I wouldn't see why not. You know, I mean, a few years ago, the big thing was all the sport courts.
Right.
I would think that maybe the pickleball courts in your backyard is the next upcoming thing because so many people are doing it. I've never played myself, so I'm kind of looking forward to getting on it and seeing what it's all about.
But is it like exercise equipment? You buy it and you hang your clothes on it. Is it just less grass to cut in your backyard if you install a pickleball court?
Great idea. I like that.
That's still a plus, right?
Yeah.
Still a plus. Less mowing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Make the investment anyway.
Yeah, we'll play pickleball, but maybe not.
a lot of people get in trouble with this show because, you know, you'll go down, you'll see an idea, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go to YouTube, I'm going to be able to do this myself. You get halfway through the project and it's terrible. But you guys have a lot of contractors that show here because they're obviously looking for business and things like that. The contractors probably book a lot of business during this time, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, they do. And a lot of the companies will offer show specials if you're willing to, you know, book a job or even just book an appointment during the show for them to come out to your house and take a look. A lot of them do have show specials. You can save yourself some money by coming out and doing it at the show.
Yeah, or a hot tub or one of those swim spas, those big long things. Ooh, those
They're
things
amazing.
Are so cool. Who pays for the water bill this month? That's the question. How many vendors do you have selling those things?
Selling the hot tubs? I think we've probably got 5 or 6 different pool and spa companies that have a wide range of different brands of spas. And I know at least a couple of them sell the swim spas too, which are awesome.
Yeah, that's true. You remember what? Was it not, what, gosh, 2 years ago maybe, during the middle of the COVID problem, you couldn't find somebody willing to commit to put a pool in your yard. They were so busy.
Right. So backed up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what's good about this time of the year? Certainly Missouri weather is on again, off again. What's great about it is it's an opportunity to be indoors, 5.5 acres of space of all these different vendors, over 300, I think I saw, 1,000 booths there. And you can take your family, put the baby in the stroller, go for a walk, get your steps in inside of the facility. It's a wonderful experience, right?
It really is a fun show. I mean, there's so much to see and do, and there is, you know, stuff for the kids. We have chalk art the kids can do. They've got make it and take it projects. They can plant a seedling and take it home and watch it grow. You know, like I said, we've got the Frisbee dogs, which are always a favorite. And then they can also register to win a $5,400 play center, swing set play center for their backyard.
Yeah, I noticed online that you can buy your tickets online now, right?
Yes, you can.
The website, stlhomeshow.com?
Mm-hmm, you can, and then you don't have to wait in line when you get down there.
Yeah, you can also buy
parking. Is there any kind of discounts available out there?
We do have a discount coupon on our website for $2 off on Friday, $1 off over the weekend. People can get that at stlhomeshow.com as well.
And it's only $10, right? For adults?
It is only $10. Bucks. Yep.
Right.
And if you're coming down after work on Friday, say it is $5 after 5 o'clock, so you can get in half price.
I think it's going to be exciting, Ellen, because a lot of people are going to their own gardening to be sustainable, you know, grow their own food or have their own chickens. Will you have chickens at the show?
You know, we don't have chickens at the show. I would love to have chickens at the show, and other home shows around the country have brought in chickens, which I think is so fun.
Yeah.
But no, we won't have chickens. But we do have the Midwest Garden Gal. She's going to be talking on our lifestyle stage 3 times every day, giving really awesome gardening tips. And her book that just came out is A Cheap Tricks Gardening. So she is going to tell people ways to garden cheap, less expensive.
Yeah, well, it's
and all kinds of ways to be a good gardener.
It's a lost art. Just think, if you brought chickens in and one laid an egg, it might cover its own cost.
Ain't that the truth?
Prices are up everywhere. I'm just saying. It's the truth. So the Home and Garden Show is coming up next weekend, March 3rd to the 5th at America Center, Friday and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8, Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5. And again, you can go online, stlhomeshow.com, and you can find the link to buy tickets and any other information, even the floor plan, to find out what's going on down there.
You can find it all.
Ellen, good to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Indoors on this segment, because we're talking about an indoor show, which is awesome. But it is the Great Outdoors. Ellen Veman, thank you so much. Good luck at the show, and I hope you got some comfy sneakers to be getting your steps in.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good.
All right,
good
stuff. We are going to move along with Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We're going to be talking to a group called Suburban Bow Hunters. They just reached out and said they want to talk to us, and man, can't wait to find out what they do. It's all coming up on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
And it's all right now. Yeah. Learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
Yeah. about, but you don't wanna be alone. It don't take but two to have a little swap.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews, along with Mark Cox and our executive producer, Carl Middleman.
Pew pew.
This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are proud supporters of the Second Amendment, and they just got a great shipment of Glocks in and Sig Sauer pistols. And if you want to get a silencer, a suppressor for your firearm, definitely go there. You can't get those just anywhere, but you can get them at Razorback Armory. Find them in De Pere and get their address at RazorbackArmory.com. Our guest now, Lou Salamone, the group Suburban Bow Hunters, reached out to the show just a week ago. And by the way, if you do want to reach out to the show, you have a comment or a question, or you want to maybe get your group on, all you have to do is find me on Facebook, Bo Matthews or Mark Cox, email us, or Carl Middleman. Find us. We're easy to get a hold of, and that's exactly how this interview was connected. So, Lou, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So your group, as I understand it, is a group of professional archery hunters, and you have assisted Missouri home and landowners with a deer population for 20 years, over 20 years now. Tell me how you got started and how long you've been a part of it.
I started it 20 years ago. Actually, I was hunting property in Big Woods out in Wildwood and saw a lot of deer. And I said, if there's a big problem here out in Big Woods, got to be a problem in the neighborhood. So I started it 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know, Lou, Mark Cox here. I've covered this story for years as a reporter at Channel 4 and down here on the radio, of course, on 97.1. I live in Wildwood. I've seen the these hotly debated city council meetings where they talk about thinning the herd. And, you know, a lot of people just don't get it. But I almost hit deer 4 out of the 5 days I drive to work every morning. I live in Wildwood. It's a problem.
Correct. Yeah. We're trying to work with Wildwood now, and there's a lot of resistance in the city council.
Yeah. How big of a group do you have, Lou? Is it more than just you and a buddy? Is it a whole bunch of guys?
Oh, yeah. It's not a buddy thing. I pick the best hunters that are going to do the right thing, and they're in the group. The guys that will kill 10 deer a year, kill all the does that we need to be killed. That's what the group is about. And we do have a Facebook page. You could go on a Facebook page and see a lot of our kills, and a lot of them are does mostly. So that's what I want people to know about, that this is what we do. And there's a lot of naysayers. And I heard you had somebody on your show last week that said we're trophy hunting, and a lot of people complained about that. Look at the Facebook page. Those are all photos from deer we killed this year. So the proof is in what we do, and nobody else is going to show it like we do and do it how we do it. So it's been a 20-year process, you know, and we've learned from some of the mistakes. So all you have to do is look at our Facebook page, get some information about what we do, and then, but, you know, the naysayers are not going to go away. Even other hunters, you know, try to say stuff that, you know, because it's competitive, but it's kind of part of it.
Yeah, of course. Lou Salamone from Suburban Bow Hunters. I would presume your Facebook page is just search Suburban Bow Hunters. And let me ask you this, though. When you go out to do this, are you doing this out of conservation, your conservation heart, or do cities or neighborhoods hire you to come in and do this?
Well, we're pretty much doing it out of our conservation heart. We're doing the right thing, which a lot of people do not do. We're doing the right thing. And we do work with a lot of cities. We work with, we recently worked with De Pere. We've worked with Manchester. We hunt a lot of the cities in West County. And we're trying to get Wildwood to do the right thing. Currently, they have a 3-acre ordinance, and a lot of the other cities have 1 acre. If they would change the ordinance, or if they would enter into contract with us, we could help them, because they want to hire a sharpshooter. They want to pay them $200,000 this next winter. And what that gets you is a guy coming in from out of state shooting a bunch of deer, and a third of them are big bucks, which is the wrong way to do conservation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are definitely some big bucks that I see driving around out there. Listen, I served on the Wildwood City Council. It's been 5 or 6 years, but I was a council member out there in Ward 4. And I remember one time when they were having this debate over the deer population, thinning it and all that, a resident came in because she's not a hunter. Her house in a subdivision backed up to probably 5 acres that somebody owned. He was back there deer hunting with his son, bow hunting, and they shot the deer, but it was only wounded, and it stumbled its way onto her driveway and collapsed, and she freaked out. Like, she couldn't believe somebody was hunting that close to her house. It's hard to sometimes convince people that what you're doing is for conservation, and what you're doing is to maybe save somebody from getting one of these deer through the front windshield of their car and killing them. It's that big of a problem in some of these communities.
Exactly. And people really don't get it. They're in their own little world. You know, oh, how could somebody be hunting out here? I moved here from Webster Groves. There's no way people should be hunting out here. Pretty clueless, really. They don't get it. What we're doing is helping a lot of people. If you knew what happened on Kiefer Creek, where the kids ran off the road in the middle of the night to avoid a deer, and I think three of them died, that was just less than a year ago. It's stuff like that. So if you want to be in my group, you have to kill does. You have to kill adult females, not babies, not trophy hunt. You have to do what we do to help the neighborhoods. And we do it all over West County. We kill about 100 deer a year at least, and we went to contract with Wildwood. And they better start talking to us or, you know, we're going to do everything we can to stop that sharpshooter and have them do it the proper way, because we actually hunt all over in Wildwood, and it's, in a way, it's theft of the resources. Doesn't go to the people in Wildwood. It doesn't go to people that really need it. It kind of goes to like the zoo and soup kitchens that you don't even know if they use the meat. So we give it directly to people. We help a lot of people directly, and dog rescue groups through what we do.
Oh, so you don't do the Share the Harvest program? Is that right?
Some guys do, but we found it easier to do it directly to people. And what we're trying to tell Wildwood is we'll help people in Wildwood that really need this. So, and people in the area.
Yeah.
How do I get on the list? I've been begging Mark for venison for 2 years now, and I can't get any out of that guy.
Is this Bo talking to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I shoot a Matthews bow.
I own the company.
Do people ever joke around with you about that?
You don't know I own the company.
Yeah. He owns that company, so he's well aware of that.
That's what I thought.
So you guys are very thoughtful in not leaving a huge mess behind. In the show notes that I have, you don't do the dressing and all that stuff out in this property that you're hunting. You actually take it to a different location, which I think is thoughtful. I do want to ask you though, Lou, do you guys have any kind of a relationship, good, bad, or indifferent, from the Missouri Conservation Department?
We do have a relationship with them, and there's a lot of friction in that relationship because we disagree with a lot of things they do. And for one thing, the sharpshooter, that's their preferred contractor. And what I call it is what they're doing is deceptive business practices. In Wildwood, they presented information to them about managed archery hunts in state parks. And they say that they're inadequate and they can't control the deer population, but they don't have the data from Chesterfield, Clarkson Valley, Baldwin, Manchester, places like that, Creve Coeur, Sunset Hills, Ladue, where we hunt. Oh, we don't have that information. Well, what do you mean? You worked with all these cities. You're supposed to have all that data and present that to these municipalities that want to do deer management. But, oh, they don't have that data? That's deceptive business practices.
So there's
friction between us.
I was going to say, let me ask Lou. So what are they? What's the disagreement? Do they feel that bow hunting is not as effective because of the maybe more limited range you might have of shooting? What's their argument?
Yeah. Well, that, and they say we're not efficient, but we are very efficient. You know, there's a lot of misinformation. And this ain't politics, but there's a lot of misinformation that they put out there to these cities to try to convince them that the sharpshooter is it and you should use the sharpshooter. we could do what the sharpshooter is doing and what they would do in Wildwood. We could do what they did in Town and Country, but it's deceptive, the information they give them, because they don't give them the information from all these cities. If they give them that data, if they would, then the cities would say, oh, archery hunting is very effective. But the conservation department is not doing that.
Interesting.
So are you saying, Lou, that they actually hire somebody? Did I hear you say $200,000 of tax dollars that goes?
Yes. The city of Wildwood wants to hire the sharpshooter, White Buffalo, out of Connecticut, to the tune of $200,000 next winter to kill 300 deer.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
But you see, Wildwood is a hunting community. There's been hunting in Wildwood for ages. It's different than Town and Country, and this is what I try to tell them. You go down this road, and there's no going back. The bow hunters and the hunters will not support you going forward. The sharpshooter will come in, get the deer down to a manageable population, and then the bow hunters and gun hunters will come in and manage that going forward. They're pretty much treat us like we're second class citizens.
What if you submitted a proposal that you'll do it for $100,000? That would be awesome for suburban bow hunters. I mean,
I did submit him a proposal, and I said I need to come and speak at the public works and admin meeting, and they don't reply to me. We already have a plan in place. We're going to go forward with this plan. Well, we're going to do everything on earth possible to stop that plan.
Well, good for you. Lou Salamone with Suburban Bow Hunters. You can go online there at suburbanbowhunters.com. You can email them if you have more questions. Maybe like me, you live in a community where it's like a crapshoot every morning as to whether or not I'm going to hit a deer. If I see one, I just slam my brakes on because there's four or five more trailing behind it. You have to be worried all the time about that. They got to get their arms around this problem. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We hunted a lot of places in Wildwood, and then when they incorporated it and went to, they nullified the St. Louis County rule of 1 acre. They were sending letters to our residents to where we hunted, said you can't hunt unless you have a piece of property that's 3 acres standalone. And we're telling them, we really want to cover Wheaton and Strucker area. We really want you to hunt, but look at the letter.
I get it.
Okay. Well, Lou, hey, real quick, before we go running out of time, but if somebody wants to become part of your group, Suburban Bow Hunters, is there a vetting process? Do you take them out to a range and see how accurate and good they are, or do you just take it on their word? And how do they get a hold of you if they want to?
Well, they find us on Facebook. They find us through any kind of Google search. They find us through municipal cities. We'll give us their information. But, yeah, there's a vetting process. We interview. We look at their history of archery. If somebody's newer and they don't have many kills, we...
You're on the couch, blowing up my phone. You don't want to come out, but you don't want to be alone. It don't take but two to have a little swap.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews, along with Mark Cox and our executive producer, Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are proud supporters of the Second Amendment, and they just got a great shipment of Glocks in and Sig Sauer pistols. And if you want to get a silencer, a suppressor for your firearm, definitely go there. You can't get those just anywhere, but you can get them at Razorback Armory. Find them in De Pere and get their address at RazorbackArmory.com. Our guest now, Lou Salamone, the group Suburban Bow Hunters, reached out to the show just a week ago. And by the way, if you do want to reach out to the show, you have a comment or a question, or you want to maybe get your group on, all you have to do is find me on Facebook, Bo Matthews or Mark Cox, email us or Carl Middleman. Find us. We're easy to get a hold of. And that's exactly how this interview was connected. So, Lou, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So your group, as I understand it, is a group of professional archery hunters, and you have assisted Missouri home and landowners with a deer population for 20 years, over 20 years now. Tell me how you got started and how long you've been a part of it.
I started it 20 years ago. Actually, I was hunting a property in Big Woods out in Wildwood and saw a lot of deer. And I said, if there's a big problem here out in Big Woods, got to be a problem in the neighborhood. So I started it 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know, Lou, Mark Cox here. I've covered this story for years as a reporter at Channel 4 and down here on the radio, of course, on 97.1. I live in Wildwood. I've seen the these hotly debated city council meetings where they talk about thinning the herd. And, you know, a lot of people just don't get it. But I almost hit deer 4 out of the 5 days I drive to work every morning. I live in Wildwood. It's a problem.
Correct. Yeah, we're trying to work with Wildwood now, and there's a lot of resistance in the city council.
Yeah. How big of a group do you have, Lou? Is it more than just you and a buddy? Is it a whole bunch of guys?
Oh yeah, it's not a buddy thing. I pick the best hunters that are going to do the right thing, and they're in the group. The guys that will kill 10 deer a year, kill all the does that we need to be killed. That's what the group is about. And we do have a Facebook page. You could go on a Facebook page and see a lot of our kills, and a lot of them are does mostly. So that's what I want people to know about, that this is what we do, and there's a lot of naysayers. And I heard you had somebody on your show last week that said we're trophy hunting, and a lot of people complain about that. Look at the Facebook page. Those are all photos from deer we killed this year. So the proof is in what we do, and nobody else is going to show it like we do and do it how we do it. So it's been a 20-year process, you know, and we've learned from some of the mistakes. So all you have to do is look at our Facebook page, get some information about what we do, and then, but, you know, the naysayers are not going to go away. Even other hunters, you know, try to say stuff that, you know, because it's competitive, but it's kind of part of it.
Yeah, of course. Lou Salamone from Suburban Bowhunters. I would presume your Facebook page is just search Suburban Bowhunters. Let me ask you this, though. When you go out to do this, are you doing this out of conservation, your conservation heart, or do cities or neighborhoods hire you to come in and do this?
Well, we're pretty much doing it out of our conservation heart. We're doing the right thing, which a lot of people do not do. We're doing the right thing. And we do work with a lot of cities. We work with, we recently worked with the Pear. We've worked with Manchester. We hunt a lot of the cities in West County. And we're trying to get Wildwood to do the right thing. Currently, they have a 3-acre ordinance, and a lot of the other cities have 1 acre. If they would change the ordinance or if they would enter into contract with us, we could help them, because they want to hire a sharpshooter. They want to pay them $200,000 this next winter. And what that gets you is a guy coming in from out of state shooting a bunch of deer, and a third of them are big bucks, which is the wrong way to do conservation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are definitely some big bucks that I see driving around out there. Listen, I served on the Wildwood City Council. It's been 5 or 6 years, but I was a council member out there in Ward 4. And I remember one time when they were having this debate over the deer population thinning and all that, a resident came in because she's not a hunter. Her house in a subdivision backed up to probably 5 acres that somebody owned. He was back there deer hunting with his son, bow hunting, and they shot the deer. But it was only wounded, and it stumbled its way onto her driveway and collapsed. And she freaked out. Like, she couldn't believe somebody was hunting that close to her house. It's hard to sometimes convince people that what you're doing is for conservation, and what you're doing is to maybe save somebody from getting one of these deer through the front windshield of their car and killing them. It's that big of a problem in some of these communities.
Exactly. And people really don't get it. They're in their own little world. You know, oh, how could somebody be hunting out here? I moved here from Webster Groves. There's no way people should be hunting out here. Pretty clueless, really. They don't get it. What we're doing is helping a lot of people. If you knew what happened on Kiefer Creek, where the kids ran off the road in the middle of the night to avoid a deer, and I think 3 of them died. That was just less than a year ago. It's stuff like that. So if you want to be in my group, you have to kill does. You have to kill adult females, not babies, not trophy hunt. You have to do what we do to help the neighborhoods. And we do it all over West County. We kill about 100 deer a year at least, and we went to contract with Wildwood. and they better start talking to us, or, you know, we're going, you know, we're going to do everything we can to stop that sharpshooter and have them do it the proper way, because we actually hunt all over in Wildwood, and it's, in a way, it's theft of the resources. Doesn't go to the people in Wildwood. It doesn't go to people that really need it. It kind of goes to, like, the zoo and soup kitchens that we don't even know if they use the meat. So we give it directly to people. We help a lot of people directly, and dog rescue groups through what we do.
Oh, so you don't do the Share the Harvest program? Is that right?
Some guys do, but we found it easier to do it directly to people. And what we're trying to tell Wildwood is we'll help people in Wildwood that really need this. So, and people in the area.
Yeah.
How do I get on the list? I've been begging Mark for venison for 2 years now, and I can't get any out of that guy.
Is this Bo talking to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I shoot a Matthews, Bo.
I own the company.
Did people ever joke around with you about that?
You don't know I own the company.
Yeah. He owns that company, so he's well aware of that.
That's what I thought.
So you guys are very thoughtful in not leaving a huge mess behind. In the show notes that I have, you don't do the dressing and all that stuff out in this property that you're hunting. You actually take it to a different location, which I think is thoughtful. I do want to ask you, though, Lou, do you guys have any kind of a relationship, good, bad, or indifferent, from the Missouri Conservation Department?
We do have a relationship with them, and there is a lot of friction in that relationship because we disagree with a lot of things they do. And for one thing, the sharpshooter, that's their preferred contractor. And what I call it is what they're doing is deceptive business practices. In Wildwood, they presented information to them about managed archery hunts in state parks. And they say that they're inadequate and they can't control the deer population, but they don't have the data from Chesterfield, Clarkson Valley, Baldwin, Manchester, places like that, Creve Coeur, Sunset Hills, Ladue, where we hunt. Oh, we don't have that information. Well, what do you mean? You worked with all these cities. You're supposed to have all that data and present that to these municipalities that want to do deer management. But, oh, they don't have that data? That's deceptive business practices.
So there
is friction between us.
I was going to say, let me ask Lou. So what are they? What's the disagreement? Do they feel that bow hunting is not as effective because of the maybe more limited range you might have of shooting? What's their argument?
Yeah. Well, that, and they say we're not efficient, but we are very efficient. You know, there's a lot of misinformation. And this ain't politics, but there's a lot of misinformation that they put out there to these cities to try to convince them that the sharpshooter is it and you should use the sharpshooter. We could do what the sharpshooter is doing and what they would do in Wildwood. We could do what they did in Town and Country, but it's deceptive, the information they give them, because they don't give them the information from all these cities. If they give them that data, if they would, then the cities would say, oh, archery hunting is very effective, but the Conservation Department is not doing that.
Interesting.
So are you saying, Lou, that they actually hire somebody? Did I hear you say $200,000of tax dollars that goes?
Yes. The city of Wildwood wants to hire the sharpshooter, White Buffalo, out of Connecticut, to the tune of $200,000 next winter to kill 300 deer.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
But you see, Wildwood is a hunting community. There's been hunting in Wildwood for ages. It's different than Town and Country, and this is what I try to tell them. You go down this road and there's no going back. The bow hunters and the hunters will not support you going forward. They think that the sharpshooter will come in, get the deer down to a manageable population, and then the bow hunters and gun hunters will come in and manage that going forward. They're pretty much treat us like we're second class citizens.
What if you submitted a proposal that you'll do it for $100,000? That would be awesome for bow hunters. I mean,
I did submit him a proposal, and I said I need to come and speak at the public works and admin meeting, and they don't reply to me. Oh,
wow,
we already have a plan
really?
In place. We're going to go forward with this plan. Well, we're going to do everything on earth possible to stop that plan.
Well, good for you. Lou Salamone with Suburban Bow Hunters. You can go online there at suburbanbowhunters.com. You can email them if you have more questions. Maybe like me, you live in a community where it's like a crapshoot every morning as to whether or not I'm going to hit a deer. If I see one, I just slam my brakes on because there's four or five more trailing behind it. You have to be worried all the time about that. They got to get their arms around this problem. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We hunted a lot of places in Wildwood, and then when they incorporated it and went to, they nullified the St. Louis County rule of 1 acre. They were sending letters to our residents to where we hunted, said you can't hunt unless you have a piece of property that's 3 acres standalone. And we're telling, we really want to hunt Wheaton and Stratford area. We really want you to hunt, but look at the letter. You know? So
I get it.
Okay. Well, Lou, hey, real quick, before we go running out of time, but if somebody wants to become part of your group, Suburban Bow Hunters, is there a vetting process? Do you take them out to a range and see how accurate and good they are, or do you just take it on their word? And how do they get a hold of you if they want to?
Well, they find us on Facebook. They find us through any kind of Google search. They find us through municipal cities. We'll give us their information. But, yeah, there's a vetting process. We interview. We look at their history of archery. If somebody's newer and they don't have many kills, we try to groom them and train them. And, yes, we do vet them in every different way possible because, I mean, the experience you're talking about, the lady in Wildwood, we need just high performers.
Yeah.
We don't need a novice that's going to wound a deer. What we do is very specific. We have operating procedures to like slam them and put them down. And that's what we do. You know, I mean, we hunt in thick neighborhoods, houses all around with little creek draws, hardly any property, 1 acre spots, combinations of properties to make 1 acre or a half acre, even in Chesterfield.
Right.
And we just put them down. We do the right thing.
Lou Salamone, we appreciate your time today from suburbanbowhunters.com. We will we'll talk to you soon and get an update on your efforts out there. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. All right, good to get Lou on here talking about that. I'll be honest with you. The deer in my area, Bo, maybe it's like that for you down there as well, too. They are fearless. They're fearless.
Oh, yeah.
I went out in the backyard last night to let the dog out. Dog runs down the steps, and right on the other side of our fence, it's a wood fence, a 5-foot wood fence. There's a big doe just standing there looking at me. I clapped my hands. I yelled at it. It just stared at me.
Hello.
They have no fear. It has no fear of the dog. Knows the dog can't get to it. They have no fear. Yeah.
It always baffles me. People that, you know, that are, you know, the hunters that buy every product that's out there, they got the shoes that don't crunch the leaves. They've got the deer urine on their, you know, they just walk right up to you in some of these towns.
Dude,
they don't care. They're just looking for a Starbucks.
It's amazing.
That's an interesting thing. These are, you know, real Americans that just want to go and do the right thing. It sounds like it'd be a heck of a lot cheaper to let them get the pass.
200
or just write a check for 200 grand.
A lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Wow.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hope you are having a great weekend. Look up the podcast. Share it with a friend. And tune into the show. We'll be back here next weekend. And we'll see you then.
See you, boys. If you're going to be a homebody, we're going to have a house party.
Get more at 971talk.com.